There we go. There we go. Good morning, church. How's everybody? Awesome. Awesome. Got an exciting day. We're going to be baptizing three folks this morning. Exciting stuff. How many of you have eaten the grapes at Sam's lately? The red grapes? No? Joe, you know, you don't know what you're missing, man. Those get some good grapes. I mean, Cheryl and I are just like gobbling up those grapes. Here's, you think I don't have a point for this, do you? You ever got grapes or like some kind of fruit and you think, man, that looks really good? And you bite into it and it's mealy. Is anybody disgusted by mealy fruit besides me? I mean, man, if it's, no. But these grapes at Sam's are good. The Lord says, taste and see that I'm good. So it's one thing to look good. It's one thing to say you're good. But the Lord says, try me out. I'm good. So we come today to worship that God that wants us to experience Him. Yes? Are you ready to experience Him this morning? Let's invite the Spirit. Let's pray for Him. Lord, we love You. You are good. We thank You that You invite us to encounter You, to experience You, and we pray that we would do that this day. We pray that everything we sing, everything we think, everything that we feel would bring glory to Your name. We invite Your Holy Spirit into this place. We worship You. You are the King of Kings. And it's in the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So again, welcome to worship. If you'll rise as we worship, thanks to our live worshipers as well. Greetings to you. Let's worship.
So good morning. First off, glad you're here. And secondly, we're going to start with a new song. So it shouldn't be too hard to catch on. So join us as you catch it and worship with us.
Drink of the water.
Children, you can come forward.
Yeah, I'm right here. Come on over. Huh? What's what? What? What'd you do? Did you hurt your finger? Okay. Well, is it okay? All right. How are y'all this morning? Hey, good morning. How are y'all? Y'all good? Y'all want to scoot over a little bit? Got a picture to show you. You want to scoot over a little bit? All right. All right. I got some big kids over here now. All right. How's everybody this morning? Everybody good? Are you awake?
Yeah, kind of.
Kind of? Okay. Well, one of the boys in first service tried to go to sleep during my message, so I don't know. He said he was really tired, so yeah. Well, I want you to know that I am very thankful that you are here today.
I went to bed at 10, I woke up at 6.
Did you? Okay. Well, I am so thankful that you are here today. So, at 5? You did? Okay. Okay, well, good. Well, I am glad that you're here today. So, here's a question for you. Do you like to go outside at night?
No.
Yes?
Coyote.
You might see a coyote? Okay, you could see a coyote, yeah. All right. But if you go outside at night, what are some things that you will see besides a coyote? Okay, yes. A moon? Bindi?
Stars,
that's right. Can you see the moon and stars during the day?
No.
We're going to talk about that, yeah. You can see the moon maybe sometimes during the day, but can you see stars?
No.
No, you cannot. That's right. So the sky is filled with stars. Have you ever thought about counting all the stars? I know. Yes, there are so many stars out there, and they shine so bright that you just want to reach up there and touch them, don't you? Do you ever want to just reach up and touch them? But you can't touch them because they're very, very, very far, far away, right? So, and did you know, because they are so, so far away, they look like little white dots, don't they? Yes, can y'all see my picture?
Yep.
They look like little white dots. But stars are really big, and they are different colors. Did you know stars are different colors?
Yeah.
Oh, you're getting ahead of me. I'm going to talk about the big difference in a minute. Yep, that's right. You're good, because I was going to ask that question. Yeah, so do you know the stars are blue and yellow and red and orange? Isn't that amazing? But they look white to us, right? Because they're so, so far away. So when you look up in the sky, as Jackson has pointed out, you can connect the dots. Have you ever thought about connecting the dots?
Yeah.
And this makes what kind of picture does it make, Jackson? The Big Dipper. Have you ever seen the Big Dipper?
Yes. I've seen the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper.
Does she have an app on? She pulls it up? Yes. Yeah, so I also printed one that has the dots connected. So the question is, do you know what a dipper is?
Yes.
You do? It's a big spoon. It's a big spoon. That's right. Do what? But there's also other things in the skies, too, other constellations, and they can be animals or people or things like that, right? So there were some interesting things I was learned about the Big Dipper. And I've always kind of known this, but I kind of reread it again. These two dots right here, boys, can y'all see these two dots right here?
Yeah.
They are called pointer stars because they point to something. Do you know what they point to? No, they point straight up to the North Star. All the time, you can look for the Big Dipper, and if you find these two stars, because they're called pointer stars, they point to the North Star all the time. It doesn't change because God made it that way. Isn't that incredible that they point to the North Star? Do you know that out in the ocean, sea captains use the Big Dipper and the North Star to help them find their way? Because when you're out in the middle of the ocean, can you find your way anywhere? No, unless you had a compass, right? Yeah. So isn't that cool that points to the North Star? So I got to thinking about stars. If those point to the North Star, I think we can say the other stars, all the stars in the sky, in the heavens, point to someone else. Do you know who they point to? God, that's right. They point to God. Have you ever thought about that? That all of those stars are pointing to God because God created all of them. Isn't that amazing? And did you know what else is amazing? That God named all the stars. He has names for everybody, for every one of them. That's a lot of names, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. So, and it tells us in His Word, in the Bible, in Isaiah 40:26, it says, "Lift your eyes and look to the heavens, who created all of these stars, and who brings out the starry host one by one, and He calls them each by name. Because of His great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing." Not a single star is missing. God created them, and not one star goes missing. Isn't that amazing that He knows that? Yes. So tonight, when it gets dark, go outside. Who will go outside tonight? I'll go outside tonight. Will you go outside tonight? Okay. Will you go outside? Yes. Go outside and look up. Everybody look up for me. Look up so you know where you're going to look. Okay. Look up, okay? and look at the stars and think and remember that God created them, and those stars point us up to God. Because God loves you enough to create all of those stars, and he names each of those stars. And do you know that God also knows you? He knows each one of us. He knows the stars, and he knows each one of us. Isn't that incredible that God is so big that he knows everything about us, and he has created this whole world? So go out tonight and look at the stars and praise God for all the beautiful creations that he has made and all the stars that point to him. Can y'all do that? All right, let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you that you love us. And I thank you that you created the stars. And I thank you that they are a reminder of your great love for us and that they point us to you, Lord. As we look up to the heavens, that we can just remember your great love for us and that you know us and you see us and you are with us always, Lord. Thank you for these kids, boys and girls that are here today, and bless our families that are with them and just lead and guide us as we walk out each day of our lives, Lord. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go.
So, did anybody learn anything about the stars? I didn't know those pointed to the North Star. Did anybody else not know that? Was it just I'm the only dumb one in the room? If you will rise with me, if you are able, as we recite this creed, this Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. So you've probably been noticing we've got shoe boxes already starting to accumulate for our Operation Christmas Child. We're getting ready to launch that again to pack these shoe boxes. It's amazing to me what a little shoe box, the impact that can make in children all over the world. And you guys have the special opportunity to be a part of that. So I want to show you a quick video. If you're not familiar, if you're newer to the church, not familiar with this ministry, watch this video.
As Christians, we are tasked to introduce Jesus Christ to every person. Operation Christmas Child gift boxes open those doors.
About Jesus, there's nothing like it.
The heartbeat of Operation Christmas Child is drawing children, families, and communities to the heart of God.
Every box is an opportunity for a child to hear God loves them.
At outreach events around the world, the gospel is shared in a child-friendly way.
At the end of the outreach event, children receive a tangible gift of God's love through the gift boxes.
Packing gift boxes is the beginning as we seek to make disciples to the ends of the earth.
The boxes are like seeds. He's working the miracles. We're just providing the seeds.
May every shoebox reach the right child.
And Lord, that they would know you.
The gospel unites all of us. We are coming together and giving gospel opportunities to these kids.
There's a lot of children out there that we want to try to reach. We want to give them a gift and we want to give them Christ. These boxes go to some of the most difficult places of the world. They go by sea, truck, tractor, camels.
It's our responsibility to make sure everybody hears and knows about Jesus Christ.
I want these kids to know they're loved, they're not forsaken. Then that's what Operation Christmas Child does. It goes around the world and shares the gospel boldly.
When the Category 5 hurricane, which created complete destruction, hit Acapulco, Operation Christmas Child delivered that gift of hope.
Metieron al evento. Allí me enseñaron cómo se hicieron los cielos y la tierra. Y oramos.
Por favor, perdóname.
Dios es fiel con nosotros. Aún en la tormenta, siempre hay un arco iris.
After children receive a shoebox gift, they're invited to the 12 lessons of the Greatest Journey discipleship classes.
We take children through the process of knowing the gospel, growing in the gospel, and sharing the gospel with other people.
Welcome to UGT class.
Through the Greatest Journey class, I know who Jesus Christ is. I want the world to know He is the one who came and died for our sins.
She preached to children in the area. That's how come Daniel and the whole family has become part of the church. Within a year, we have grown massively into a huge church.
The whole project is about evangelism, discipleship, and multiplication.
Through the gift boxes, we are helping churches to see this as an outreach to those that have never heard the gospel.
We are seeing children coming to the Lord, taking the gospel back to their families,
and the gospel continues to go places where it has never gone before.
Pray so that all of them might come to Jesus Christ as we are giving them the word of God.
Box counts because every box is an opportunity for a child to hear that Christ came to this earth for them. Keep packing these boxes and continue to pray for these children. We couldn't do this without you. Thank you for being a part of this ministry. God bless you.
That is an incredible ministry. We have that opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus through a small little Christmas box. You know, a few years ago, I forget his name, Naomi. Say it again. Yeah, what she said. He was in his early to mid-30s, I believe, when he came and spoke to us. He had received a box when he was a little boy, and the thing that still sticks with me is the thing he was most excited about in his box was a toothbrush, because they had been sharing a toothbrush in his family, and he had his own toothbrush. And did you know that someone can come to Jesus through a toothbrush? Did you know that? Yep. Through the love that is demonstrated. With those, we are a gathering place. We not only make the boxes, but we gather the boxes and pray over. They're prayed over many times before they go out to the children. So I want to go ahead in this morning to pray over this ministry. If you have some questions about how to participate in that, you can check our website or our app or my email, and there's some information there on how you can be a part of that. You can talk to Naomi. Raise your hand back there. Naomi will give you all the information you need right back there. Let's pray. Father, we are amazed at your goodness. What a privilege to be entrusted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. For us, for one another, but also to the ends of the earth. God, Jesus, you said that we would take the gospel to the very ends of the earth. And this is part of that. I pray blessings on Operation Christmas Child, on this Samaritan's Purse ministry. God, they do so many wonderful things, and I pray blessings, financial blessings on them. I pray blessings on these boxes that are already beginning to be assembled and to be distributed. We pray over those, and each one of those boxes, as they open it, Father, as they open a toothbrush or they open a little toy, a ball, whatever, Lord, would you convey the love of Jesus to these children? Father, as they go through the great journey, that the study that follows, God, would you bless that as they hear the truth, that it would permeate their souls, God. Again, what a great privilege it is to be entrusted with your love, with your gospel. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We're humbled that you love us. We pray all this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So as we continue to worship, just the giving options for your tithes and offerings are on the screen. There's also giving boxes, offering boxes at each one of the doors. Thank you again for your financial faithfulness and all that you do. Let's worship. Closer walk with thee.
still, there is a healer. His love is deeper than the sea. His mercy is unfailing. His arms a fortress for the weak. Let faith arise. Let faith arise. I lift my hands to believe. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me to
Good morning. Please pray with me. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your desires for us. And Lord, pray that this place is a holy habitation, not just the atmosphere, but maybe our hearts as well. God, you have that desire for us to know you more. Inhabit this place for your glory. God, open the eyes of our hearts so we'll know you more deeply. Father, and I pray against what the enemy would try to do to rob the word from us this morning. He's active. I pray against his activity. And Father, we trust you for who you are. In Jesus' name. Amen. Good to see you again this morning. Well, this morning we're going to take a break from our pastor's sermon series, We Believe, as it relates to the truths of Scripture. And this morning we're going to spend some time talking about our identity in Christ. Our identity in Christ. And there is a sermon insert. You'll have opportunities to take notes on one side. Their scriptures will be on the back side. Those scriptures will also be on the screen. And we're just going to see if we can dig a little deeper in regard to who we are in Christ. When I talk about our identity, I'm not talking about necessarily physical things. I mean, all of us have unique fingerprints, thumbprints, right? All of us have a unique social security number. Names are complicated sometimes. I had a person with the same name as me that got in some financial trouble, and the collection agencies kept calling me, and I said, I'm not that guy. Please leave me alone. Addresses, phone numbers, email. These are things that people steal every day. I hate to confess this, but around the first of the year, I fell prey to a scam. I wasn't very smart. I'm not going to go into any detail because I'm too embarrassed to tell you what I did. But somebody out there, I just wanted to choke that person, to be honest with you, whoever it was. You know, it stole some stuff from me, and so it's taken a while to try to get that rectified. But I'm not talking about that identity. I'm talking about us personally. I mean, what defines us? What is our identity? And if I ask you that question, what defines you? What is your identity? And here's some things that maybe perhaps we can find our identity in. One thing may be our work, our job. That's important, right? And it's kind of amazing. You can get two men together and they start having a conversation they've never met before. And real quickly, the conversation turns to, well, what do you do? Tell me what you do. And so our work, our job, jobs are important, but do we derive our identity from that? Is that what defines us? How about our family? How about our relationships? Do those things define us? I mean, those are incredibly important. I love my family. I'm grateful for the relationships I have, but is that what our identity is wrapped up in? Does it shape our identity? What about our financial net worth? You know, we classify people as billionaires, millionaires. Carlene and I are thousandaires. I don't know about y'all. We got a couple $1,000. We used to be hundredaires, so we've kind of graduated to the next class. But, I mean, you think about Elon Musk. I guess he's still the wealthiest man on the planet today anyway. That seems to fluctuate. And so somebody might say, well, who is Elon Musk? Well, he's the richest man on the planet. And I wonder if that's his identity himself, that that's who he is. Is it from our financial worth? Is it our education? I mean, some of you are brilliant, and you pursued higher education. You have a bachelor's degree, maybe a master's degree, maybe a PhD. God bless you for doing that. But does the letters behind your name, does that identify you? Does that define who you are? How about our past successes or our past failures or our past hurts? Do those things identify you? Do they define you? Let me give you a definition of identity. I should have done this before I worked through that list. It's a collection of, unique, because each one of us are different, unique qualities, beliefs, characteristics, and experiences that define us. And those are some categories that might define who we are. And I'm going to tell you that, church, the world so desperately desires to define us, to define who we are. You know, the news media, whether it's right-leaning, left-leaning, conservative, liberal, middle of the road, it's every news outlet, every media outlet has a narrative that they continue to push. And if we allow it to, that will identify who we are. That will define who we are. And if you're outside of Christ this morning, I'm just going to be honest with you, the world will define you. The world will bring about your identity. Now, if we're in Christ, we need to fight against that. We need to resist that. But to be honest, excuse me, for those of us in Christ, the one who defines us or who we get our identity from is Jesus himself and only Jesus. I heard a wise pastor preach a sermon years ago, and he said, if we derive our identity from anything other than Jesus is our Lord, then as life situations change, we're going to struggle. You know, I worked 24 years for the Abilene Fire Service. I walked away in 2005. I'm going to drink your water, by the way. Thank you, Jeff. I walked away in 2005 at the age of 49. It really kind of surprised me because I thought I would stay till I was 56 because it would have benefited our family financially greatly. But the Lord called me to walk away. And so I remember this teaching that this pastor gave, and it really resonated with me. Because a lot of years, if someone would ask me who I am, what's your identity, I would say I'm a firefighter for the city of Abilene. I was kind of proud of that, not prideful, but I had opportunities to help people, to serve the citizens of Abilene. And so when it come up to me retiring, one day I was a firefighter, and the next day I wasn't. And I was okay with that because that was not my identity anymore. My identity was I'm a child of the King, and that's an eternal identity. Everything else seems to be temporary. You know, I'm married to Carlene Krim. We've been married 46 years. We dated for 5 years before that. She's the luckiest woman on the face of the planet. I'm just going to say. And don't tell her I said that, please. No, actually, I'm incredibly blessed. But God forbid something would happen to Carlene, and then guess what? I'm a husband one day, and the next day I'm not. So if that's my identity, then man, I could be thrown into some kind of crisis. I love my family. I got two awesome kids and some grandkids, and if God forbid if I was to lose any of them to where I ceased to be a dad, I ceased to be a granddad, I would be grieved deeply, but that's not my identity, even though I love them passionately. Is this making sense? So we need to derive our identity for who Jesus is for us, what he says about us, and that's what I want to dive into this morning. So to kind of set the stage here, I want to look at Colossians 3, 1 through 3. It's kind of the backdrop for us as we talk about our identity. What's our identity consist of? And these scriptures, again, will be on the screen. They'll also be on the back side of your sermon insert. I'm sorry. I've got a tickle in my throat here. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So we've been raised with Christ. Christ was resurrected from the dead. We were resurrected in a sense to walk in newness of life. Other scripture says that we are seated in the heavenlies with him. I don't understand that. I'm here, but I'm also there. Positionally, I'm seated in the heavenlies with him. And he says, set your mind on things there, not on the things of the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So if we want to discover who we are, what Jesus says about us, what our real identity is, we need to keep our mind there. We need to keep focused on Christ, not on the things of the world. So let's think about that as we move forward. The first thing about our identity is that we are saints. We are saints. Any saints in the room? There's a couple. I've got some work to do here, looks like. Let's look at some scripture. Church, I don't know. I don't get to preach often, but I don't know what to preach from other than the Word. You don't want to hear my opinion. You don't want me to listen to somebody else's sermon and give you their opinion. I appreciate our pastor. You know, preaches the Word. So we're going to use it as our guide this morning. So Romans 1:7, we are saints. To all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:1, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and the deacons. So Paul writes a letter to the church in Rome. He says, you're called to be saints. He writes a letter to the Philippian church, and he says, every one of you in that congregation, you are saints in Jesus Christ. Now, let's look at a definition for saints. And this doesn't help us any as far as trying to determine whether we are or whether we're not. A saint is someone who's sacred. This comes from a Greek definition. Physically pure, morally blameless, ceremonially consecrated. And then this little phrase really challenges me. A saint is the most holy one or holy thing. And I think about my life, and my goodness, I don't think I really measure up to that. Now, as far as saints go, and I'm not railing against the Catholic Church. Please don't understand me. I've worked some walks to Emmaus in the past with precious brothers and sisters from the Catholic world. And so, please, I'm not disparaging, okay, the Catholic Church. But they have a process where people attain sainthood. And that list is, I didn't look at the list, but it's not lengthy by any means. So for a person to be noticed as a saint or set apart as a saint, they had to live a certain way. They had to live an exemplary life, a life of virtue. They had to, at least one miracle had to be performed by their hands. With two, it brought them to a place where they canonized that particular saint. And then they recognized them. But again, that list is short. It really is. And as I was thinking about us being saints, And then those who are recognized in the Catholic world as saints, they're saints based on what they did. Saints based on the life that they lived. And church, I'm grateful that that's not true of us. I'm grateful that it doesn't depend on what we do. It depends on what Jesus did for us.
Amen.
Not what we do for him. That's why we are saints, because of Jesus' work on the cross. Now, about 5 years ago, I preached a sermon. The title of it was Saints or Sinners? ? And I asked our pastor, Jeff, as believers in Christ, are we saints or are we sinners? He says yes, which really didn't help me any, to be honest with you. So let me ask you a question. How many sinners do we have in the room? Look at that. About four saints and a whole room full of sinners. Interesting. And so here's what I think. I'm looking at my perspective. I don't know. I just 5 or 6 years ago, 8 years ago possibly, man, I heard a teaching that just kind of brought me freedom in this area. Because, church, I'm a saint of the living God. And for me to say that, it sounds boastful. It sounds arrogant. It's just like, ugh, how can Billy say that about himself? And the reason I can say that, I choose to believe what Jesus did for me. I know me. And I don't believe that I'm a sinner struggling to be a saint. I believe I'm a saint who happens to struggle with sin, which I do. You know, it's interesting in Scripture. The word saints, referring to the church, is used around 60 times, addressed as saints, 60 times. The word sinners is used around 5 or 6 different times. Paul said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. Did he not say that? Maybe he's referring to his past life. And for years, this was my mindset, that I'm some poor, lousy, rotten sinner who's barely saved by the grace of God. I tell you what, there's no life in that. And so this is how I viewed my life as I'm striving for eternity, that I'm on my belly because of shame and guilt, and I'm crawling towards eternity on my stomach, crawling, and God is sick and tired of me. And so as I'm crawling, I'm dodging lightning bolts from him, because at any point, if I do something wrong, he's going to smoke me on the spot. And if I get to the threshold of eternity, if I happen to get there, then if God's in a good mood that day, or maybe the good stuff I did outweighed the bad stuff, then maybe perhaps by the skin of my teeth, he would allow me to crawl into eternity. And that was my mindset for years. Church, there's no life in that. There's no abundant life in that mindset. And so I choose every morning. My starting point is I'm not a sinner struggling to be a saint. I'm a saint who happens to struggle with sin. And Jesus, help me when I do. I'm trusting you for eternity. I'm trusting you for what you've done for me. Any saints with me? Anybody else? We got a little better. We're getting better, so let's move on. Second thing, our identity in Christ is that we are sons and daughters of the living God. Sons and daughters of the living God. This is a big deal. Let's look at some scripture. 2 Corinthians 6:18. And this is scripture that Paul quotes from 2 Samuel in either 1 or 2 Chronicles. I didn't get the reference. And this is what God said, but it applied to the church at Corinth. It says, I will be a father to you, and you will be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. And in 1 John 3:1, see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. We are sons and daughters of the King. If we're in Christ Jesus, that's a big deal. I think all of us are aware that we are sons and daughters through adoption, right? God only had one begotten son, that's Jesus himself. So you and I are in the family because of adoption. And I just did a little look into adoption yesterday. Google's my friend some days, and some of y'all are a lot more familiar with this process than I am. But this is just what I gleaned from that search, that there are at least two types of adoptions. There's a domestic adoption, where there may be a young lady who is about to give birth, and God bless her for carrying that child to term. And so maybe she's just struggling with moving forward as a mom. And so there are possible parents just waiting to adopt a newborn. And so the process plays out over a number of months, and the birth mother has lots of input as to who her child is going to live with for the rest of their life. That's a domestic example of a domestic adoption. Now, foster care adoption, there's a child that obviously the parents have really struggled, the child is struggling, but there's this family, they so desperately want to love on a child. But maybe they struggle themselves with having their own child, so they want to adopt. And so there's a list of possibilities maybe presented to this family, and they're looking for maybe a certain age, maybe a certain match, background match. And the parents, in a sense, they choose who they're going to adopt. And so God himself, he chooses who he's going to adopt. And he does that even though he knows our history. And he always says, yes, I want this one. I choose this one, and I choose this one. I choose this one to be my son. I choose this one to be my daughter. He chooses us. Ephesians 1:5, Paul said, we are predestined He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. Now, Paul lived in the first century. He was a Roman citizen. He understood the Roman law. And from what I read, and some of this is still relevant today, Marv Gregory has an incredible story about adoption. Love for you to share that sometime. You already have, but I'd love for you to share that again. That according to Roman law, that a father could disinherit, or cut a child, a natural born child, out of the will. And it's kind of cruel, and the purpose or the reason for that is that the father didn't really know what they were getting into with his child. It's hit or miss with children. Basically, that was their mindset back in that day. So he could disinherit that child. Now, an adopted child had all the rights of a natural born child, but could not be cut out of the will, could not be cut out of the inheritance, because that father chose this one, kind of knew what they were getting into, in a sense. And Marv, is that's still true in our day too, right? Yeah. The power of adoption, the power of that. You know, some of us may have a hard time realizing the depth. I don't fully understand the depth of me being his son. Some of us may have a hard time relating to that reality, because maybe our family experience wasn't good with our father. Maybe we had a father that was absent. Maybe there was abuse there. Maybe there was maybe difficult situations. I know some of y'all had parents that both of them were just awesome. Awesome. And so this probably doesn't pertain to all of us, but I'm almost certain maybe some of us. You know, my dad, he was a good man. He grew up in that generation where fathers had a difficult time showing their feelings. Hard to be. I see some of you shaking your head. Just hard to be, emotional, hard to be intimate. And my dad was a good provider, but he just, I never heard that he loved me. I never heard that he was proud of me. And I needed to hear those two things. As a young man, I didn't know that I needed those. And I'm not upset with my dad. I'm sure it was pattern for him. His generation passed that down. Generation before that probably passed that mindset down. And he just struggled with that. Well, when I was 9 years old in 1966, he died of colon cancer. And so when you get a colon cancer diagnosis in the 60s, it's basically a death sentence. And I just remember, okay, my dad never told me he loved me, never told me he was proud of me. And for the last year or year and a half of his life, he was in the bedroom in intense pain. I didn't realize this 2 years later when me and my mom were talking about it. And so he struggled so much with pain that the door was always shut. And me and my two brothers couldn't see Dad. He was closed off. He was distant. Don't bother Dad. And I didn't realize that my mom was shooting him up with morphine on a daily basis just to keep his pain down. It's amazing that they used to release that drug to wives and husbands. So that was my mindset of a dad. That was my concept of a father. So when I got saved, I'm thinking, okay, God, you're my father. I've had this pattern for me. Do I really trust you? Are you really available? Do you really love me? And I struggled with that for about 14 years, and I had this encounter with the Lord that man, he freed me up to embrace him fully. It's almost like I just want to go run, jump in his lap. He's that kind of father. He's a good father, and you and I are sons and daughters of his. Sons and daughters. We're sons and daughters of the King. That is a big deal. That's part of our identity. Everybody okay? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Third thing. Our identity in Christ. We are his beloved. We are his beloved. Look at a couple of scriptures here. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. There's around 62 references to believers and to Jesus himself that we are referred to. He is referred to as the beloved. And it's the same Greek word. 53 times the church is referred to as the beloved, and 9 times Jesus is referenced as the beloved as well. Now, definition of this. To be God's beloved means to be unconditionally and eternally loved by him. Now, God loves unconditionally, right? That's how we come to faith in him. He loves his creation. If you're here this morning, you're outside of Christ, he loves you. He desperately wants to have a relationship with you. He wants you to know that. But if we're in Christ, then his love is not only unconditional, but it's eternal. And we're loved by him. And we're recognized, I love this, recognized as his chosen and favorite child. His favorite child. Now, I didn't think God had favorites. I thought he loved all of us equally. I thought the playing field was level. And, you know, I know some people who... in the past, that family members particular that had a favorite son, a favorite daughter, favorite grandchild. Carlene had an aunt and uncle that Carlene was not their favorite. And they let her know that. Hurt her deeply. And God's brought healing in that area. But like I said, there's God loves us all the same. And He loves us all unconditionally, but it's almost like we're all his favorite by default. You're his favorite. You or I am. His favorite children, his beloved. I'm going to go ahead and ask the... Terry, can you come up, please? There's a prophetic teacher named Graham Cook that is really gifted in the area of trying to communicate the love the Father has for us. And there's a video on YouTube. You can find it. It's called The Inheritance. Really spoke to me a number of years ago. And he talks about the love God has for us, us being the beloved. And I just want to read a little bit of what he says. He can do it more profoundly, but I just want you to receive this from the Lord. This is all scriptural. It's all biblical. God's love is radical and outrageous. There is nothing we can do to make him love us more. There's also nothing we can do to make him love us less. He loves us because he loves us. I'm going to personalize it here. It is his nature to love you, and you will always be the beloved. His love is unchanging, and he loves you 100%. He won't love you any better when you become better. He loves you 100% right now. Even if you have no plans to become better, he still loves you 100% because that's the way he is. And even if we don't have plans to change, he will still love us 100%. Even if we don't have plans to walk with him, he will still love us 100% because that is his nature. He loves all the way, all the time. So be loved. You are his beloved. And you have permission to love yourself and to love who you are in Him. Church, we are saints of the living God. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. And we're sons and daughters of His. If you believe that, say amen. And if you're His beloved and you believe that, say amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank You, Lord, for the way You love us. This radical, incomprehensible love that runs so deep. God, You look past our failures. You look past our flaws. And God, it astounds me the way that You reach out to me with grace and mercy. I thank You that You're a patient Father, that You continue through the Holy Spirit to shape us and to mold us into the image of the Son. And so, Lord, I pray that You help us to get this morning. Help us to meditate on this and help us to grow in this area. Father, help us to draw our identity. I pray that, Jesus, You shape who we are, that our identity is shaped by You. Oh, how we love You so. Thank You for the way You love us. We pray this, Jesus, in Your strong name. We're going to go ahead and sing a song. This may be new to you, but it's a declaration about who we are in Christ. So let's stand and worship together.
You guys, come on in. Jackson, are you ready, buddy? Come on out here, man. You come on right on in. Stan, I want you to, before you sit down, I want you to stand right over there. You got it? All right. This is Jackson. And he, yeah, he is coming to be baptized. Family, y'all come up. Family, friends, whoever wants to come, y'all come on. I know, buddy. I love it. Y'all come right up front. They've got a camera. They can see. Y'all come right on up. You can get right in front. That's okay. Are the screens working, Arliss? There we go. All right. Y'all come. Hey, y'all don't be shy. Come right on up in front. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Get up here where you can see good. Okay, Jackson, we've talked about this moment. You've talked about this with Mom and Dad as well. So are you ready? And I told you I was going to ask you some questions. And we talked about that word sin. And so do you admit that you are a sinner?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. And do you want Jesus to forgive you of your sin?
Yeah.
You want him to be your Lord and Savior and live in your heart? Excellent. If you'll sit right there, hold your nose. Dad and I, Dad, get in here, Dad. Hold your nose. Jackson, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, stay right there. Stay right there. Y'all get in here. Let's put a hand on. Y'all are so shy. Come on, get in here. I know. They're all shy like you, Patty. Yeah. All right. Remember we talked about the Holy Spirit coming to live inside of you. I'm going to pray for that, okay, Jackson? Lord, I thank you that Jackson has said the yes to you, and long before that, you said yes to him. As Billy's talked about today, he is chosen. He is your blessed son. God, would you bless him? Would you send your Holy Spirit to live inside of him? Would he grow up to be a mighty warrior for you, Jesus? And pray blessings on him and his family in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. All right, Carson. I'll get you to step over there as well. One more. Go do one more step before you sit. Stand right there for the questions. There we go. All right. So we also talked yesterday, right? Whoop. Don't fall. So do you confess that you were a sinner? And you want Jesus to forgive you of your sin. And you want him to live in your heart and be your Lord and Savior. Amen. You want to be baptized? Okay, sit down right there. Dad, get in here with me. Carson, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Stay right there. Stay right there. All right, grab a shoulder if you can reach somebody. Father, again, we are so grateful that you died for Carson, that you love her so. Thank you that she loves you back. Would you, Father, fill her with your Holy Spirit? Would she grow up into a mighty warrior for you, Jesus? Would you bless her? Bless her family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And we're not done. One more. Yeah. Stevie, you're not going to have to step on that other step over there, buddy.
Awesome.
Yeah. All right. This is Jackson and Carson's uncle, right? All right. He comes today also to profess his faith in Christ and to be baptized. So,
yes,
Stevie, I ask you the same question. Do you confess that you were a sinner?
Yes, sir.
And you want Jesus to forgive you of your sin.
Yes, sir.
And you want to have him as your Lord and Savior and live in your heart.
Yes, sir.
That's so awesome. That's so awesome. Well, if you'll sit, we will baptize. And Larry's going to assist me. Stevie, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Stay right there, buddy. I don't know why it was a little harder to get you up, man. I don't know why. All right, if y'all can put a hand on Stevie. Jesus, we just celebrate. Your word says that when people come in repentance before you, that the angels in heaven rejoice, and we rejoice as well. Father, would you just bless Stevie? Would drive a stake in the ground and say, this is a new day. And that would you just, Father, just send your spirit to live inside of him, and would he be a mighty instrument in your hand? In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Billy, where's Billy? Give us a benediction, Billy.
And let's thank the Lord one more time for what he did today in the hearts of people. That is so awesome. I want to remind you, parents, to please get your children. Carly and I will not take them home with us. So please gather them up. I encourage you to be blessed today. Go love on somebody and allow yourself to be loved as well. Have a great day.
I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. Oh, I am who you say I am. Yes, I am who you say I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.